Good morning. Tell me I had to use that cane to get up here because Greg might not be as quick as he used to be to catch me when I came off backwards, so I did. It's good to be here this morning. I told Sheila, I said, you know, we didn't collaborate, but I said, you spoke just about everything I needed to speak, so I'll try to be a little bit more elaborate. She did a great job of sharing about the soils. You know, if you were here last week, we did something that Brother Bill doesn't usually do. We had an altar call. And that is when we take some time at the end of the service and we play a song and we allow people, if they have something they need to pray about, to come to the altar and pray. And we give them an opportunity to, if they want to accept Christ, they do that. And you know, that's kind of a tradition in Baptist churches. It's something that I grew up with, and we always had that altar call, so to speak. And Bill hasn't done that here. And when he first did that, it kind of bothered me a little bit because, you know, I was just something that I was used to. But you know, Bill talks about why it's so important to him that you make a decision that you know what you're doing and that you make a decision that you're dedicated to. And I agree with that. And in fact, I've gone to a lot of churches where that altar call just kind of seems to go on and on and on. And then you have somebody come up towards the end and you kind of go, oh no. I'm going to admit I do that. But you know, I understand what Bill was talking about. He doesn't want people just to come up, make a decision, get baptized, and then just come to church. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people do sometimes. And this, what I'm talking about today is in the parable of the sower. And I use the term, how is your soil? And I'm going to talk about that. We need to understand when we make a decision for Christ, that's not just the end of it. That's just the start. And I think that's what Brother Bill wants people to understand, that it's not just about making that decision, baptize, come to church on Sunday, and forget about it until the next week. And so I chose this parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. I think it really illustrates why it's so important to understand a decision you make. It's not just saying that prayer and doing those things that I just mentioned. Jesus taught in parables quite a bit, and that was normal for them to do that in that time. The hearers of what he was teaching were used to parables. They wanted you to think and to wrestle and maybe be challenged a little bit about what they were saying. You know, here in our culture today, we kind of want to hear, we want to hear 1, 2, 3, 4, and we'll follow that, or A, B, C, and then that's the end of it. We follow a prescribed plan. But Jesus wanted us to think about it. And teachers of that day followed along and they taught parables. Jesus wasn't the only one that taught in parables. It was something that was normal during that time period. And people would have understood what he's trying to teach. So I'm going to read the first part of Matthew 13. First of 9 verses, and then we'll talk a little bit. It says, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil, But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. I think it's important to remember that last part. Let he who has ears hear. Because a lot of times people don't understand what Jesus was trying to say. And he was encouraging them or challenging them to really listen and to think about it. You know, one of the things that Jewish hearers during Jesus' time, most of them had the first five books and a lot of the prophets, they had it memorized. And so when Jesus told a parable and he used some references, they would immediately think back to their Bible, so to speak, because they had it memorized. That was their teaching. That was what they did when they were young. They went to Torah school and they learned the Bible as we know it. They didn't necessarily have the Bible in the form we had it, but they had an understanding of what it was there. And so when Jesus told these parables, they would immediately be thinking back to what they had learned before. During that time, this is really about learners. First of all, and it's already been mentioned, the farmer is God. It was Jesus. Sometimes we use that term of being sowers of the seed. As a Gideon, sometimes we say, well, we're sowing seed when we give out Bibles to schools or wherever we go. And sometimes we use the analogy of when we're out witnessing and sharing our testimonies, we're sowing seed. Well, we are sowing God's word, but God is the sower, not us. And so it's God who is sowing the seed. Now, in their culture, most people understood the farmers and knew how and what Jesus was talking about of sowing the seed, and so do we. But he talks about that seed. The first seed falls on the path. That path is hard. Doesn't take root. You got to do a little work in order for that seed to do anything if it falls on the path. We think of it, well, the birds of the air came by and got it, and you know, we trampled it in and nothing happened with it. Well, that's true. But I want you to think about, as I go through these four soils, what is your soil? Unfortunately, I could probably identify to all four of them, because at different times in my life, that seed has kind of fell on some hard ground. God asks us, or Jesus is asking us here, what do you do when you have seed that falls on the path? Hosea 10:12, we know the book of Hosea, says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. So what does it say? It says you got to do a little work. You got to break up that hard path in order for the rains to come and for that seed to go down into the ground and begin to grow. Sometimes it's hard to do that. Sometimes we don't want to put the work in, and sometimes we don't want to take the opportunity to really put in the work. And so that seed sits there, and it kind of goes away, whether it's the birds or whether it's the world, whatever it may be, using the analogy of the birds, it just kind of goes away. We don't do anything with it. We may hear it. We may soak it up. we don't do anything with it. There were four learners that they talked about back in those days, and one of those was the sponge who just soaked up everything. They didn't really do anything with it. They just kind of left it there. Is that your soil today? Where it's just, I know all about that, but I haven't done anything with it. That was the first soil that Jesus was talking about in this parable. The second one was the seed that fell among the rocks. All of us know what happens. Sheila's already talked about what happens when you plant in rocky soil. There's not a lot of dirt there. All of us have gone around. We got plenty of rocks here in Arkansas and plenty of shale. And you'll see little plants, and they're pretty easy. You kind of come by, you just kind of flip them off. They don't have much roots. And if you want to clear the rocky ground, it's pretty easy to do that, isn't it? When the heat comes, when persecution comes, when someone challenges your faith, it's easy for it to fall away. I was telling them in our men's class, I teach senior adults, I said, I'd hate to be a young person today. You got so many things trying to grab your attention. I'm just as guilty of anyone of sitting on this iPad and picking up and start watching YouTube or something and really looking at something legitimate. And before long, I spent 2 hours or 3 hours looking at things. I'm thinking, what am I doing? I don't even know what I'm looking at. It's that way sometimes with our walk with the Lord. We don't allow it to take root. We just let it all come in and we let it all go out. That was that second learner back in those days. They were like a funnel. They took all of this stuff in, but it just all went out. No deepness, no neatness, no roots, no deepness of thought in what God's Word really meant. And so we allow the Word to just leave. Jeremiah 17:5 talks about this. Excuse me. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come from it. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust in the Lord, he is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. And it is not anxious in the year of the drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. You know, sometimes we don't allow the root or the words to take root. And in doing so, it dries up. Other things get in the way. And we allow the world to sort of become the most important thing. And that was the thing that Jesus was talking about in this next soil, I believe. Said the seed falling among the thorns. If you don't weed your garden, what happens? Those weeds grow real well. My dad had a garden late in life and he needed some help, so I told him I'd come up and help him weed the garden. That lasted about one day. Because I'm going to tell you, weeding a garden's hard work. I decided, I believe I'll just go to the market and buy my vegetables. Because it's tough. But you know, it's the worries of day-to-day living can choke out the Word. You know, if you're like that believer who accepted Christ and then got baptized and then come to church, and that's all you do. You get up on Sunday mornings and you kind of do your routine. But then on Monday morning, the world can start taking the place of God in your life. And Jesus warned about that. The worries of day-to-day living that can take away from our walk with the Lord. Jeremiah 4:3 says, "For thus says the Lord to the men of Judea and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." You know, if you sow in a bunch of, if you sow in a ground with a bunch of thistles in it, as Sheila was talking about, what are you going to get? You're going to get a lot of thistles. Now, there's another parable about the wheat and the weeds that I'm not going to go into today, but we understand that they can grow together. But one can choke out the other. The world can choke us out and can choke out the Word. It's kind of tough to live in this world today and to be humble. Worries of the world can sometimes take the place of our trust in the Lord. I was telling him I had to come home late last night from Fayetteville, and I probably drove a little faster at times and kind of in a hurry to get home. But, you know, just driving a car, Greg mentioned Fordyce, the thing that happened there. I was down there not very long ago, went by that grocery store. Even driving your car, you can be driving down the road and aggravate somebody and make them mad, and they can try to run you off the road, or maybe even shoot at you. There's a lot of things in the world that can cause us, when you go to your workplace or when you're at school, there are people who will make fun or challenge your faith or challenge what you believe. And so God tells you to be careful about those things. We worry about worldly things. And Jesus addressed that in Matthew 6:25. He said, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life and what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Your Father knows that you need these things. And God provides for those things. But we have to make an effort. We have to be able to weed our soil and not let the weeds and the cares of the world overtake us. You know, that it kind of reminds me of the strainer. They talked about the learner. I said that the sponge and the funnel and the strainer. The strainer sometimes is the guy that, or the person who strains what he hears, but oftentimes keeps the wrong thing. That was the strainer during that time. A strainer would be able to take in everything, but oftentimes kept the bad. And so sometimes we do that with the world, but the world overtakes us. We start straining out what we think is important, and oftentimes we'll strain out the Word of God and allow the world to be the focus. It takes work to be able to understand what we need to take in and what we need to keep. Now, that last soil that we're talking about, the seed that fell on the good soil, is one who truly hears the Word and understands it. Now, that sounds pretty easy when, from a gardening point of view, we have good soil that we can seed, we get good crops, and we can weed out the weeds as we go along, and it's easy. It's a little easier to go in that good soil and do that as a gardener. But as a believer in Jesus, it still takes work in order to make sure that we keep the things that are good, all the things that we take in. That fourth learner they used as an analogy back then was called the sieve. I don't know if any of you, I know the ladies know what I'm talking about when you sieve or you sift flour. I used to work in a in our restaurant, and we used a lot of flour. And when we were busy and after we got time, I would take a hand sifter and we would sift the flour. I'm thinking, oh, it looks pretty good. It's all white, but and it's fine. But whenever I got that hand, and by the way, it's not easy to do this when I'm talking about it. You'll know, some of you know. You start sifting that flour. And when you get through sifting that one dip, well, where did all these rocks come from? Where did all these things that were hiding in there? Where's all these impurities that I saw? I didn't see those, but I sifted. I took the time, and it takes time. It takes time to sift a tub of flour. It took time to sift through flour back in those days because they literally had to sift everything. It takes time and it takes work. But we need to be able to be like a sieve, and we need to take in the things that we take in. We need to be able to sift it. We need to have soil that allows us to sift and to be able to tell the good from the bad. And you'll be surprised about what things, when you start sifting through the Word of God, all the way back, all of the Word of God, from the Bible, the Old Testament to the New, of what you'll find when you start sifting. And these things that look like they're straightforward. You know, when I read this parable of the sower, which is really the parable of the soils, as a young person, I was thinking, well, gosh, I don't want to be that guy that I'm not the seed that fell on the path. And I'm not the seed that fell in the thorns. I know all those things. But as I started thinking about it, and as God began to talk to me about it, and I began to wrestle with it, I realized that at many times in my life that I was like the path, that the Word of God fell on hard ground, in my hard heart, as Sheila put it, and it didn't take good roots. Or I let some things I heard, that sounds pretty good, and I let it take root, but I didn't work to make sure that that root really took hold. Things that I knew, and I'm thinking, well, that's not as important. So I let it sieved away. Or I strained it out, perhaps, and kept maybe the bad part. We need to make sure that our soil is prepared to receive the seed so that it can grow and produce a good crop, a blessing, a life that is focused on Christ. But we have to really want to do that. We have to really want to change. It's more than just making that commitment, getting baptized and say, I'm covered. I'll come to church. I'll come to my life group. But it's got to take root. It's got to be able to grow in order to receive the blessings that God wants to give us. It requires us to be discerning, recognizing the good and the bad. That's not always easy. It sounds easy sometimes. You think, well, I know what's right and I know what's wrong. And I've been there, but you know what? With the more I get into God's Word, the more I study and allow God's Word to take root, I realized there were things that I thought, oh, that's no big thing. It's a big thing. It can grow into a big thing. What I talked to you about a while ago, about being on the road and making somebody mad. We all know the commandment, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill. But Jesus said, don't let anger grow. If you're angry with someone, fix it right then, because that anger will grow and grow and grow. And you will commit murder. Getting mad about somebody cutting you off on the road and you doing something to get back can cause someone to lose their life. That's murder. And we can take that same analogy in every part of God's Word, in relationships with each other, our relationships with God. Little things that can end up being something big. So it does require us to be able to sift the good from the bad. And it's not fun. You know, you're sitting in If you're doing a hand sifter, your hands get tired. But you know, it's worth it. It's worth it to get the good and to take away the bad. And that's what we need to do. And that's what this message is about. What is your soil? Is it ready to receive the good seed? Is it ready for that seed to be able to root, to grow, and to bring a blessing to you and to others around you? That's what the parable of the sower is all about. Allowing God's word to take root and to grow. It takes work. It takes time. But it's worth every bit of it. Anybody that, as I mentioned, thinks that farming or gardening is easy, you've never tried it. That's all I can tell you. Because I'm not that kind of guy. I know a lot of people love that, and it's good that we do. But I'm going to say that it takes work in order to produce a good crop. So I'm glad that Brother Bill encourages you to come after a service and to talk with him so that he can counsel with you, that you can make a decision that's life-changing. Not doing it because somebody's putting pressure on you. Not because your friends came. And you know, I was glad to see the young people who came last week from the camp, because that's where I made my decision to accept Christ, was at a church camp in the summer. And I'd been coming to church I was 13. I'd been coming to church all my life. But it was important to make that decision then, and I was glad to see these young people who made that decision. I'm glad that Brother Bill is doing a council with them on Wednesday nights in order to help them to grow. It's important that we take the time, that we prepare our soil to receive, to grow, and to produce a good crop in our life. So I'm thankful for what God has done in my life, and I hope and pray that that will be what He does in your life, that your soil is ready, and that when you make that decision, that it will be life-changing, because that's what, look at there. Now I got to jump off. Greg, be there for me. Thanks, I appreciate it. But I'm going to close with this prayer that today, if God is talking to you about making a decision that's truly life-changing, that you'll do so today. Not because someone's putting pressure, but because God is touching your heart. He's telling you that your soil is ready to receive the seed, to receive the good news, and that through that, you can take root and grow in Him. Go with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you thanking you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for what it teaches us. Lord, we just ask you to be with anyone here today who's wrestling with a decision, who's wrestling with issues in their life, Lord, to help them to wrestle with those, Lord, that they would allow your word to penetrate their heart, to make the good decision and to do away with the bad. Lord, we thank you that you are always there, that you are the great sower, that you are continually sowing seed, that all we do have to do is to prepare our soil to receive it. And Lord, that through that, we can see it grow in our lives. Lord, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for everyone here today. Lord, as we close this worship service, we pray that those that are making a decision will do so in a way that will take root. Forgive us where we do fail and where we fall short. These things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.